You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I talked to the senior lecturer at the Department of Psychological Medicine, the University of Auckland, Ituini Ma'au, about his recent study on dementia, how it can be prevented, and some of the potential modifiable risk factors in New Zealand. Recently, you did a study on dementia explaining that there are some potential risks and ways that it can be prevented. Yes. Could you please tell us more about this study?
Yeah, so look, I mean, the study is basically looking at what they call the population attributable fraction of dementia. And really, it's looking at, there's been 12 risk factors that have been identified, and it's looking at how much dementia could potentially be prevented if you completely got rid of that risk factor. There's really good evidence for the 12 risk factors in the study, but broadly speaking, they fall into two categories. One is anything that reduces damage to the brain, so things like smoking, alcohol, diabetes, hypertension, obesity, traumatic brain injury. And then there are things that improve your cognitive reserve, which is basically your brain's ability to compensate for the changes that might happen as you get older. And those are things like education, particularly up to the end of secondary school, that's what the evidence shows, and then staying socially connected. So things like hearing loss and depression as well, which might affect your social connection, are important risk factors too.
Are these some findings that we weren't aware of before?
So no. So the Lancet Commission back in 2017 with Professor Jill Livingston at University College London identified the initial 9 risk factors, and then in 2020 they updated those to the 12 risk factors. But the way the calculation is done is that it's based on the prevalence or how common a risk factor is in the community. So we actually got in touch with Jill Livingston and we thought that we'd do it in a New Zealand population using New Zealand numbers, because the prevalence of a lot of the risk factors are a lot higher in New Zealand. And what we found is that while the worldwide estimates that the Lancet Commission identified were about 40%, New Zealand's sitting closer to 50%. So it's about 47.5% for the New Zealand population, and actually over 50%, particularly for Māori and Pacific ethnicities.
Why do you think New Zealand has a higher percentage than other places?
It's because the way that the calculation is done is based on the prevalence, so how common a risk factor is. So, for example, if we take obesity, when the big worldwide study was done, the prevalence of obesity is around 3 or 4%, because, you know, there are many countries around the world where it's just not an issue. In New Zealand, the prevalence of obesity sits at, you know, 35 to 40%. I think we're like second or third in the OECD for the prevalence of obesity. So, you know, if you're obesity rates are 10, 11 times higher, then all the calculations are going to end up higher as well.
And you're saying that it could be more prevalent in different cultures or communities?
Yes, so it is. And it, because the prevalence of risk factors is different depending on the different ethnicities. So, for example, things like diabetes are much more prevalent, much more common in Māori and Pacific populations. But things like social isolation, Pacific families tend to be more socially connected, they don't tend to live alone, that those risks are a lot lower in those communities compared to, say, Europeans.
Dementia can definitely feel like a scary thing to many people. Do you think that the way that we try and help people with dementia currently is the right way of doing things, or are there ways that we could potentially help them better?
So, I mean, look, the short answer is yes. I think the important message I'd want to get across is that when you develop dementia, say in your 60s or 70s, a combination of 20 to 30 years changes in your brain. So it's not just that you hit 65 and suddenly you need to start living healthily because dementia might happen. It's that actually the changes that occur that lead up to dementia are happening in our 30s and 40s. So the key message really is, you know, it's your 30s and 40s where you need to start looking at reducing some of those risk factors rather than waiting till you're older.
Do genetics play a significant role in whether or not someone is diagnosed with dementia?
You know, everyone's worried about genetics, and everyone talks about, you know, my mum, my dad, my grandma had dementia. But the genetic risk with dementia is reasonably low. You're looking at about 7%, which is about the same as the risk associated with hearing loss. So you can't do anything about your genetics. You know, clearly you can't choose your parents, but you can choose to, you know, mitigate some of the other risk factors.
And what are some different forms of dementia?
different forms of dementia. So, I mean, dementia is basically a catch-all name for a syndrome that says your ability to process information in different cognitive domains isn't as good as it should be compared to someone of a similar age and education level, and that those difficulties are causing difficulties in your day-to-day functioning, functional impairment. The most common type is the Alzheimer's type dementia that accounts for about two-thirds of dementias, and that's the classic one that we all know about, where, you know, people start having difficulties remembering things, and the hallmark of it is really difficulties forming new memories. Other types include frontotemporal dementias. That's when the front part of your brain is affected, and the front part of your brain is where a higher function sits. It's effectively what differentiates humans from many other mammals. That's where your personality is, your ability to perform complex tasks. Vascular dementia is reasonably common, probably accounts for 15 to 20%, and that's when you have little areas in your brain where either they haven't got enough blood supply and they go ischemic and die, or you have bleeds, and that kills off brain tissue as well. And then there are numerous other kind of more minor forms, for example, those associated with Parkinson's disease, Lewy body dementias, and so on.
Why is it important that we care about studies like this?
Look, I think the key message is there is no cure for dementia. So when you develop dementia, by definition, it's going to be progressive, irreversible, and gradually get worse with time. So because there's no way of curing it, the focus really needs to be on reducing its onset, so preventing it from happening in the first place. You know, New Zealand is staring down the barrel of what's been called overseas, you know, a tsunami of cases coming. We have about 70,000 people with dementia in New Zealand currently. That's projected to have about 170,000 by 2050. And the cost of dementia, you know, at the moment, the total economic cost is sitting at around $2 billion a year. That's going to shoot up to $5 or $6 billion a year in the next 20 to 30 years. So it's going to cause increasing strain on the health system. It's going to cause increasing strain on carers and their families. So we do need to focus on prevention. And look, ultimately, the risk factors that are identified are really factors that are good for you anyway. And effectively, anything that's good for your heart is going to be good for your head.
That was University of Auckland Senior Lecturer at the Department of Psychological Medicine, Etuini Ma'au, talking about his recent study on dementia prevention.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.